Today we're going to discuss occasions of stumbling, and as we do so, we're going to be thinking about Matthew 18, verse 7, which really inspires this thought. It says, "Woe unto the world because of occasions of stumbling, for it must needs be that the occasions come. But woe to that man through whom the occasion cometh." Those of us in life who were born that way, I don't know whether we were born that way for sure or not, but if we're clumsy, then we were born that way, I don't know, but I'm just one of those people who's clumsy. Donna's reminded me very often down through the years about how clumsy I am around the house. Somebody else always causes it, though. I'm not really responsible for it personally. It's always somebody else. Whoever invented the tables that they put in living room tables, whoever invented those things is largely responsible for many of the bumps and the bruises and the sore toes and the sore feet that I've had through most of my life. All of us, to some degree or another, are a little bit, we tend to be just a little bit clumsy. Sometimes it's because we're not watching what we're doing. Sometimes we're not just being as careful as we ought to be. And at other times, it's just that our mind is someplace else. Wherever it is, it's not with our feet, and so we stumble over things. And so it's a very common malady of the human condition, and Jesus is talking about that problem of human existence, stumbling. There are always things, though, that are put up in the way of the person who stumbles, whether he put them up or somebody else put them up or whatever. But those kind of things can cause you problems. Another thing that I have problems with is doorways. Because doorways are built for small people, really. And if you're broad-shouldered, you'll catch your shoulder. And I also had a problem with astigmatism most of my life, so I've been clumsy in that regard. Literally, there's no telling how many bruised shoulders I've had down through the years because I caught one of them on one side or the other of a doorway. And astigmatism does not help that because you just don't see like you ought to see. And so vision can be a part of, or at least one of the elements, of that overall scenario. And so Jesus is talking about something that people in everyday life experience all the time because of clumsiness and whatever occasion of that stumbling is. Some of us just were not born graceful. We see some folks who were, but some of us were not. Now, understand that under the law, one can even be sued in a court of law and found liable for damages for leaving some sort of an obstacle around your yard or in your basement or somewhere in your house. So if a child comes over and visits with you and stumbles and falls, you could be sued. It happens. And you've maybe read about stories where someone has been sued over that and has been held responsible and liable in court. And by the way, that's one of the reasons most of us have some sort of home insurance which covers that sort of thing. And if not, usually some sort of what we call umbrella insurance that covers all such problems as that. But the point is that if you leave something out, if you dig a hole and somebody falls in it, it's your hole, so they're not responsible just because they fell in it, according to the law. And so you may be held liable and may be responsible for everything, including what is potentially punitive damages in some instances, because you're being punished on account of what you did. Well, our Savior is talking here about the general principle that all that legalese is about. In another place, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 5, he said, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it's profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be sunk into the depth of the sea. Notice this. Cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble. That's putting an obstacle in the path. An occasion of stumbling, if you will, in the front of someone. Obviously, he's talking here about the new convert, the person who is new in Christ and a babe in Christ, as he is described elsewhere in the Bible. But such a person has special care. The Lord loves them in a special way because of the fact that they have yielded their life to him. And if someone becomes responsible for causing that person to fall, then the responsibility for that is laid upon the one who caused it. So each of us needs to be apprised, I believe, of several very important truths that are very vividly brought out by these two important texts and others, by the way, that are like them. First of all, you need to know as a spiritual neophyte, a young person in Christ, you need to know that the world is filled with occasions of stumbling. The world is filled. It's full of landmines out there, in a sense. And that's what the Lord was saying to his people. He was saying that every home is filled with stuff that can cause you to stumble and fall and trip. And every life, likewise, is filled with such things. Every single life is full of that sort of thing. A child who's just learning to walk will find every one of those things that you can trip over. They'll trip on every one of them, if you've ever watched it. Until eventually he or she falls and stumbles enough times that then they begin to build in a little caution. And they say, okay, I'm going to be a little more careful. I got a bloodied nose that one time, and I don't want one of those again. Or I got a black eye that one time, and I don't want that again. And so eventually, because you begin to take some precautions, then you'll have less difficulty. In fact, most of us at one time or another have seen a little one stumble over their own feet, right? You've seen them right out in the middle of the floor. In fact, I've probably done that, and so have you. We stumbled over our own feet. You say, there wasn't anything there. There was no toy there. There was no table there. There was nothing there. I just stumbled over my own feet. It happens. Because it is a dangerous world out there. And the Lord was warning us about that. And more than once, I've seen an older brother or sister who is jealous because of the attention that the parents are showing to the other. Just because they're being mischievous, topple the little one over in order to just trip him, you know, make him fall. You've seen it, so have I, because of jealousy or whatever. And so it is a dangerous world out there for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes people intentionally do things, and sometimes they don't. Usually, attention is not the only thing that's brought to that incident. In other words, if you trip your little brother, Mama's going to tan your hide. That's the way it usually works, isn't it? You tripped your little brother, or you tripped your little sister, and so you're going to get punished. And so we should not think that if we put up obstacles in front of others and we cause them to trip and stumble and fall, that somehow or another we're going to get away with it. Yes, the world is filled with occasions of stumbling, but I can make it worse on you if I want to, and you can make it worse on me if you want to. So I'm absolutely sure that God does not take kindly to seeing his little ones tripped up by those who ought to be looking out for them and protecting them. It's my responsibility to look out for you, and it's your responsibility to look out for me. That's the way it works. Woe unto the world because of occasions of stumbling, for it must needs be that the occasions come. The Lord said, it's a minefield out there. Watch out for the mines. None of us who have tried for several years to live the life of a Christian would ever tell a new convert anything different than that. That's the way it is to be a Christian. It's tough. It's not easy. There are a lot of things that may potentially trip you up. And sometimes a Christian brother or sister might even trip you up. An immature Christian must be aware that occasions of stumbling come often, and they come in many different forms. They can come in the form of false doctrines. They can come in the form of loose morals on the part of others. They can come in the form of older Christians who are weak in the faith, or older Christians who are indifferent to the teachings of the faith. It can come in the form of pressure that is put upon you by your friends and even your fellow Christians who are worldly, wanting you to conform to their lifestyle, wanting you to conform to their attitudes about a lot of things. And if we're aware that the world is like that, if we know what Jesus said is true, woe unto the world because of occasions of stumbling. For it must needs be that the occasions come. If I know the world is like that, and you know the world is like that, then we're prepared. The old saying is, forewarned is forearmed. You're ready. If you know that, well, you need to know that. You need to be fully aware of it. What experts call situational awareness has saved many a person from a crime or a problem. Situational awareness. When you go out in the public, in other words, and so let's say you go to the shopping mall, we're told at this time of year, you better have your antennae up. You better be aware what's going on around you, because there is someone who is wanting to pick your pocket and take your wallet out of your pocket. I was in a Jerusalem street years ago, and a good friend of mine was standing very close to me, and I heard a little shuffle going on. I was busy taking photographs, and a little shuffling went on, and I turned and looked. My friend Farrell Jenkins had just grabbed a young man's hand and held it. He had one of my camera, a part of my camera. It was one of the long lenses to my camera. He'd picked it up and he was going to take it away. Farrell grabbed his arm and stopped him before he took it. And I was oblivious. After that, I learned not to be oblivious. I zipped up all the pockets on that thing and made sure it was tight and secure. And when I went around after that, I always had one hand on it and had it secure. I learned to be situationally aware. And all of us are told that when we go into parking lots and so forth during this part of the year, when there's a lot of shopping and everybody's thinking about something else and not situationally aware, we have problems. The world is filled with occasions of stumbling. And if you'll be situationally aware, you'll have less or fewer of such problems. The second point I want to make to you is that the world is cursed for such occasions of stumbling. This is the fact of life. My being oblivious to it and my being naive about it is not going to help me. It's just going to hurt me. But it's the way the world is, and I need to know that the world is cursed because of those occasions of stumbling. Woe unto the world because of occasions of stumbling. That's what Jesus said. And he said, but whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be sunk into the depths of the ocean. Who whoso shall cause, that is to say, you become responsible because you trip that other person up. And you can do that in many ways. There are lots of ways to do that. The world in general, most of it certainly, is headed down the wrong road that leads to perdition. The Bible says it in Matthew 7:13. Listen carefully. Jesus said, "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Now listen. "And many are they that enter in thereby." Many. "For narrow is the gate, and straitened is the way that leadeth unto life, and few," many versus few, "few are they that enter therein." And so the Christian has a question. The question is whether we want to go down the wide road or the narrow road. We understand that it's only the narrow road that leads to heaven, and that that broad road leads to the other place. And so if we do, then we know it will take us to the same place. It has always taken people throughout history. If I go the broad way, it's taken me to perdition. And if I go the narrow way, it's taken me to heaven. That's the way it works. The road from Nashville to Memphis takes you inalterably to Memphis. If you take that road, it's going to take you to Memphis. Not someplace else, Memphis. And when you get to Memphis and turn around on I-40, it takes you right back to Nashville. There's no, as long as you stay on that road, that's where you're headed. Each one of us has others who are depending upon us in one way or another to help them along and support them spiritually speaking. Every one of us. There are people who look to us for guidance, look to us for help. So if I fail to provide the wholesome spiritual advice that others need, if I provide not the love and the encouragement, and most important of all, the personal illustration of what a Christian ought to be and what a Christian ought to do, then I will become an occasion of stumbling to that other person. And that may provide them with just the excuse that they may be looking for anyway to get on that broad road. So it's simply inexcusable for me to be less than what I ought to be in that respect. But there's a third point I want to make to you. And it is that occasions of stumbling are a necessary part of the human dilemma and a necessary part of the divine plan. God did not want life for us to be easy, simple. God wants us to be challenged because those challenges are good for us. They make us stronger. They make us better. We are told that the gravitational pull of the earth is what keeps us from floating out into space. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? If all of a sudden the earth's gravitational pull just let loose of all of us, we'd float to the top of the building, wouldn't we? And if we walked out the building and we were on the front porch, we'd float up to the sky. But there's also a challenge in all of that, because the earth's pull gives us what we call one gravity, one earthly gravity. And that earthly gravity is a constant challenge to our heart and our lungs. Our heart must beat and pulse that blood through the other portions of our body. And we must breathe, and we have one gravity or one atmosphere, as they sometimes call it, upon our outward being. And that thing keeps us functional and strengthens us. If you run or you walk or whatever, you get winded. And that's better for you. That's good for you, as long as you're not in a precarious situation heart-wise or something like that. It's a challenge, but that challenge makes you stronger and makes you healthier. It's good for us to be like that. Now, if on the other hand you go up and stay on the space station for a few months, when you come back to Earth after a few months of almost no gravity, you come back to Earth, they say that you can't hardly breathe, you can't hardly walk, because you're not used to bearing the weight and the load of the one gravity that you've been, the one atmosphere that you've been carrying around with you all this time. And so, as a result, your body has to reacclimate to the challenges of living under gravity. Well, you see, God intended for those challenges to help us, make us stronger. Those things have been around. It must needs be that the occasions come, Christ said. They've been around since Eve handed the forbidden fruit to her husband, Adam. He tried it also, and they both fell into sin. And all those kinds of challenges will be here as long as the world stands. God will not remove them from the earth or from human experience. You're going to have to deal with them. I'm going to have to deal with them. But those tests fulfill, if you will, an important part in God's strategy for his world, since they prove the mettle of a man, whether he will stand up or he will fall. And it's up to us. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. James 1:12. How does God know we love him? Because we stand the test. Because we passed the test. We cannot control the fact of their existence or even when and where they will confront us or attack us. We have to live with them the way they are and when and where they are. But we can always control the outcome. That's entirely within our power. I cannot control the test, but I can control my response to the test. And so if we're capable of seeing to it that we do not personally represent an occasion of stumbling for others, for someone else who needs my help rather than my hurt and my trouble and my sorrow, then that I can do. When others may be looking to us for strength and looking to us for faith and looking to us for an example, that's what they need to see. That's what they need to find. They don't want to see weakness and wavering in us. Because when they see that in us, they can excuse it in themselves, don't you see? And when they excuse it in themselves, then ultimately, both of us may be headed on the wrong road to the wrong destination. Fourthly and finally, woe to the man through whom occasions of stumbling come. That's what Jesus said. Woe to that man through whom those occasions of stumbling come. Even though they are an essential part of the world as it presently is constructed, and it suits the plan of God for us to be tested, for there to be obstacles to righteousness and faithfulness, the person who acts as a personal affront to the righteousness of God, the person who becomes an occasion of stumbling to others, he's not therefore free of responsibility or guilt for what he has done. We talked this morning in the Bible class about Judas Iscariot. There's no doubt that Jesus, as far as the plan of God, the overall plan of God, that Jesus was going to be turned over to his enemies for his crucifixion and death. That did not, however, remove the responsibility of the man who became the traitor, Judas Iscariot. He sold him out for his own personal agenda. He wanted silver. The high priest had silver. He was willing to sell Jesus for the 30 pieces of silver. And so the man's own greed was what created the situation. Jesus said, "Woe to the man." And so the portrait the Lord paints in the mind's eye is not a pretty one. It is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be sunk into the depth of the sea. Verse 6 says, it would be a ghastly sight to see that happen, would it not? A macabre thing for one to be thrown into the depths with a heavy weight tied about his neck and to see him sink to the depths of the ocean. Yet the Lord said it would be better. It would be better than being a stumbling block for others. And so let us ever be mindful of our personal example toward others. Let us never provide what the Bible calls an obstacle or an occasion of stumbling that might lead someone else to fall from grace, to lead someone else to lose heaven as their eternal home. For in the process, it just may well be that we may lose out on heaven ourselves. And that would be a result too calamitous even to think about. And so let me ask you this morning, are you an occasion of blessing for others or an occasion of stumbling for others? As a Christian, and most of us here this morning are Christians, if not all, are Christians already, then are you being the kind of person with others you need to be, or are you failing in that endeavor? If so, then we need to make an apology to God and to our Christian brethren.